Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Lewis, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Sandra Lee Cirio joins us to discuss exploring past lives. But before we bring Sandra Lee on, let's welcome Maureen. Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
All right. Fantastic. Well, can you share with our... It's always good to be fantastic. And you also do you do fantastic work at PsychicAccess.com. Would you mind explaining a little bit about your talents and the things that you do over there?
I do fantastic work over there. Yes, I'm an empath, intuitive psychic. I utilize my tarot, as I feel tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, so they work very well for me. I take my work very seriously, but I have a very good sense of humor, but I love helping people with things that they're difficult and heartfelt and getting them through that. So that's my favorite. Well, everything is. And then just feeling like the love.
Well, hey, I got to say, I watch you in action every single week on this show, and I can attest that to all the people that you help. You're definitely one of our favorites. And everyone listening can find Maureen at PsychicAccess.com. Finally, last but definitely not least, is our star of the evening. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Stephen.
So happy to hear that. I don't have to explain to you how excited I am about the topic of tonight's show. But can you tell us a little bit about what you do at PsychicAccess.com first?
Sure. I'm a psychic medium, which means that I connect with people and guides in spirit, helping people to understand that there is life after the expiry of the physical body here on the earth plane. I'm also a hermetic astrologer. I really enjoy using astrology to understand people or help them understand themselves and calculate when things are most likely to occur.
Outstanding. Well, astrology is one of those subjects that we have in common in terms of our mutual interests. And tonight you have a very, very renowned astrologer. Can you tell us a little bit about Sandra Lee Cirio, please?
Absolutely. Well, Sandra Lee is a full-time professional astrologer, but she also has a master's degree in psychology. And she wrote a weekly astrology column for the Sun newspaper in northeastern Ohio for 26 years. But she has many, many years of experience and has worked with clients all over the U.S. She lectures, teaches, and makes media appearances. She's also certified by ISAR and AFA, the American Federation of Astrology. And she serves as president of the Rocky Mountain Astrologers. She was vice president and a membership chair for the Organization for Professional Astrology and a founding member of the Colorado Association for Professional Astrologers. So she's very well qualified and a fascinating, very smart lady. If you'd like more information about Sandra Lee, please visit her website. It is Sandra Lee, and Lee is LEIGH.com. Well, Sandra Lee, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back again.
It's wonderful to have you back again, Sandra Lee. We enjoyed interacting with you last time and wanted to bring you back and pick your brains about past lives.
It's such a fascinating subject, and maybe it's surprising that you can read it from the birth chart. Some people don't know that, but it pretty clearly reveals things about your past life, what you're here to learn, what talents you're bringing over, and sometimes it even shows some people you might interact with or even tangle with who can bring these lessons to you. And that exciting. Doesn't always mean that it's easy either.
Well, Sandra Lee, let me ask you. I know that you're an incredible astrologer, and you've been involved with astrology for many years and psychology as well. But when did you first become interested in the concept of past lives?
Well, I have to say it came right along the same time I started studying astrology. I was very interested in Eastern philosophy and Eastern religions, and that's one of the major principles of their religion and beliefs, that you're not done when you leave the planet, you're not finished. Some people might be. Most people aren't. You have to come back and work at it till you get it right.
But do you believe that each lifetime, in effect, is just part of the overall journey, that it's just one experience of many?
I do, and I think there is such a thing as an oversoul, and here I'm probably quoting Jane Roberts, who wrote the Seth books many, many years ago and talked about oversouls. And I do believe there is such a thing as an oversoul that kind of oversees whatever it is, helps direct your life and helps you, go on the path that's kind of set out for you at birth. And I also believe that we do choose our parents. I don't know if we choose them so much individually as much as we choose the circumstances and the situation that we're going to come into that often will help us grow. And sometimes there are these SIDS deaths, sudden infant death syndrome, and one of the explanations for this is that the soul that entered decided, no, I don't think this is going to work, or this isn't, something has changed, and so it leaves the body. And it's certainly incredibly painful for young parents, or for parents when that happens. But that's one explanation of why it happens to infants, that they don't want to be in this incarnation. And, there's also some controversy over when does the soul enter the fetus. And I think it could be at different times. It could be, if you look at the prenatal solar eclipse, that's usually 6 months or a day ahead of time that we think the soul enters. And I think that's probably accurate. I think it could be any kind of time frame within about 6 months before the baby's born.
Well,
so there really is something to listening to beautiful music and doing things that are creative and not trying to have a lot of stress before you give birth, because you will attract a soul who's more in tune with those things.
And it does make sense that if you exit the physical body at the end of a lifetime on the earth plane and continue without that physical body, it makes sense that a body could be developing under development for you, and then you enter at a certain point in time during the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, that
does
make
sense.
So you're just saying to me it makes sense to you as well.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
it does,
yeah.
Because, Sandra Lee, I see the physical body as a tool. I don't see my body as me. I see it as a tool or a piece of equipment that I must have to function on the physical plane on Earth.
Mm-hmm. And also, that mind, according to the Vedic astrologers, and I think even certain Eastern religions, the mind is really not in your head. It's all through the body. It functions all through the body, not just in one place. And that kind of goes along with what you're saying, Stephen, is that the body is the tool, it's the vehicle, but it's not really who we are. It's the manifestation of who we are in the earth plane, but it's not who we are in totality.
Do you believe, Sandra Lee, that the soul resides on the earth plane or on another plane, even when we are present on the earth plane?
Well, that's a good point. No one's ever posed that question to me before, Stephen. But yeah, I kind of think that the soul does reside on another plane. And I don't know what plane that is. There's different planes of existence. There's the astral plane and some other ones. But I think you have a good point there. It's more like, it's to me, the oversoul or the higher self, whatever you want to term it. But it functions from a different level of consciousness than we could be aware of. And that's why a lot of times, like as an astrologer, I'll talk to clients and things in their life just fall apart and they don't understand it. And yet, there's a higher force at work here as to why things are falling apart, because sometimes you won't, like a job, right? You won't leave your job, so the job leaves you because you need to move on to something else.
Yeah, I always say to clients, Sandra Lee, that if we do a lot of inner work ourselves, if we delve within ourselves to understand who we are, where we came from, what needs to be learned, what needs to occur, and we do some of that work ourselves, then life or the universe doesn't have to do it to you necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wouldn't that be a nice place for everyone to be and to recognize that? But I would agree with you. But I also think that the older this, you know, if you're an old soul, and all I mean by an old soul is someone maybe who's been here many times, or someone who has wisdom, who understands how life functions and works from a spiritual perspective. So if you're an old soul, a lot of the times your lessons might be a little more difficult, or maybe they're more difficult to help evolve you into becoming an older soul. So they get you over maybe a stuck point. And I think it's tough sometimes for people living in the earth plane, because to exist in our earth plane, we have to experience death, right? And we have to experience life and stress. And, you know, it all depends on your perception of this, how well you deal with it. Some people, it's not a problem at all, and other people, it's a major problem. And it's all because of the Buddhist philosophy of attachment, right? So if you're attached to something, if it exits your life, like if someone dies, you get divorced, you lose a job, if it exits your life, then you feel very empty, because you put too much into it. So you're too attached to it. And that's what it tells you, basically, is that suffering comes from being attached to things. And aren't we all, to some degree? Of course we are. We're all attached to some degree.
I think that one of the major challenges we experience, Sandra Lee, is our attachment to the future. So we set all of these expectations and objectives for the future and say to ourselves, oh, I'll be happy when I have such and such a property, or I'll be happy when I have a partner, or I'll be happy when I have more savings on my bank account. But we are therefore attaching ourselves to things and setting ourselves up for disappointment, rather than saying, do you know what? I can be happy right now.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's you know, in these Jane Roberts books, and I don't know why I happen to be thinking about them today, but she says the point of power is in the now. And and Eckhart Tolle says it, the power of the now. So they're all really on the same theme, that you're right, in this moment, but also in the moment, you can, Stephen, break habitual pattern. And habitual pattern is how you might respond to something that's going on, like the person in front of you in a car cuts you off. And in that moment, you could stop and say, wait, I usually yell and scream at that driver, but maybe I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to sit back and say, I guess he or she needed to get into the lane in front of me. That's breaking habitual pattern, and that is very powerful.
Yes, just saying, well, it's not about me. It's something going on with that person. They were in a rush, or they're having a bad day, or they're feeling aggressive, whatever it is, but it's not mine. It's not mine.
So why should I be why should I respond in a way that is so negative? Why can't I take a higher road here? But that's hard. You know, it's easy for me to say that, but it's hard for most people to do that. You know, they don't do that very well, because I think they get caught up in it, like you said. You get caught up in the energy of the moment, but your power is in the moment. And call it the eternal now, or whatever you want to term it, But that's what breaks your patterns, and that's what helps you to gain wisdom and evolve in life. And again, it's not easy. Everybody has their moments, right?
It's true. I want to ask you in a moment, Sandra Lee, about the old soul concept. But before we do, I want to ask you about fate. Stephen and I were having an interesting conversation about fate last night, and so we were debating. Well, you know, there is an element of fate. So the Queen of England was born Queen of England, and mm-hmm. another person's born into a different lifetime, and you can argue that they choose that lifetime, or that that's what they had become, and therefore that's what they incarnated into. But I want to ask you, as an astrologer, somebody that sees how the progression and transits of the planets in our solar system describe what's occurring in a person's life now and at any point in time, what's your view on fate, or the extent to which we are subject to fate?
Well, as an astrologer, if you look at the birth chart, you see the birth patterns. And that is the natal promise, right? So this is the promise of your life. So in one sense, you could say that it is fate and that you don't have free will. But in another sense, I think there is an element of free will, because you do have choice. You do have choice. But then once you make the choice, you could look back and say it was fated, right? So as an astrologer, looking at a chart, I can see potentials of experiences and situations that people are going to encounter in this lifetime. I can see them, and I can map out about when they might happen. And it's sad to say, but sometimes we see the more traumatic experiences, because those have more of an impact on the person. And yes, you can also see situations and experiences that are glorious, but there's a little less of those and more of the ones that are struggling, right? So I would say that you're born at a moment of time when you have the qualities of that moment of time. And actually, I'm quoting Carl Jung right there. So you're born at a moment in time when you have, and you take on the qualities of that moment in time. So when you take that first breath independent of your mother, when the elliptical cord is severed and you take the first breath, you take in the whole influences of the universe as we know it. Now it's a multiverse, you know, but at like our world that we know and our planetary system, we take all that in that moment. And that's our birth pattern, right? Depending on geographically where you're born, exactly what time you do that. And that pattern does describe your life. Now, I will say, it's not 100% fated. It's not like you're going to have a car accident when you're 45 years old and you're going to die. It's not like that. But it might say, hey, when you're 45 years old, you are more accident prone. It might say that in the chart. And some of the outcome of that would depend on what you've done up to that point. Right, of where you are up to that point, which is very personal to the soul and very individual. But yes, the birth chart, I think, contains everything you need to know, and also shows, it kind of overshadows the soul a bit, in that I think it represents the soul in this lifetime. So if you look at the past lives from the chart, because it's how those lives are affecting you in this lifetime.
So do you believe then that we can overcome some of the challenges in our charts by proactively engaging in the work that needs to be done?
Absolutely. You said that so well. That should be a book you write. Because I think it states it so well. It's so true. You have to be aware, and you have to be awake, and not everybody is. And maybe they're not supposed to be. There are baby souls out there because they're new to the earth plane, or they take a lot longer to learn the lesson. So they're baby souls. They're not mature souls or souls. And it doesn't make one soul better than the other. I don't want to make it a status thing or a rank, because that's not fair. I mean, we're all here with some type of purpose, something we want to either accomplish, experience, or produce as a talent. I mean, we all have that in common. But being aware, it's easy for us to have this discussion, but isn't it? It's difficult for, say, for a lot of people to have that awareness, right? That's a raise of consciousness there. And, you know, you look at where our consciousness is now, and where was it 60 years ago? What a different world we live in. There's much more equality for the sexes in employment. I mean, we could go on and on. Technology has totally changed our world. So we keep evolving as a society, but we also keep evolving individually as people. But again, awareness is everything. And for some people, they can expand their awareness. Sometimes they can do martial arts, spiritual disciplines like yoga, whatever, Tai Chi, whatever they want to do. Some people meditate as a way to expand their awareness. And some people maybe do charitable work that helps them open themselves up. I mean, it's different for everybody. It doesn't mean that each person has to meditate. I really don't believe that, though I'm a big believer in meditation. But I don't think, you know, I think if more people meditated, I think it would be a better world, of course. But that's kind of a utopia at this point. But I think you have to be willing to be awake, be willing to listen, be willing to be wrong, be willing to have some hindsight on things. I mean, there's many things that would contribute to a person waking up. And I'm sure there are many people out there who have had experiences that were wake-up calls for them that actually changed their life. And so that's always the message from the universe. So let's say you have a bad accident, and let's say you're crippled in some way. Well, you could lament the fact that you're incapacitated in some way and be really angry about it for your whole life, or you could do something good with it. You could help other people. You could develop some other talents that are latent within you. So again, it's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to what happens to you that I feel really directs your destiny. I really believe that it directs where your life is going to head. And I do feel we can create our own reality, but we create it by our thinking. And then again, here it is, right? Our thinking, our biases, things that prevent us from seeing a bigger picture, right? And things that hold us back.
It makes sense, Sandra Lee. Now, Sandra Lee, I want to ask you in a moment how we can gain insight into the development of our souls and insight into past lives. But before I ask you that, I wanted to say, would you be comfortable, could we do that by looking at my co-hosts, Stephen and Maureen?
Sure.
Would you be able to look at their charts and explain to us, or give us an example, but explain to us how we can gain this form of insight?
Okay, sure. We can do that.
Okay, well, I'll give you, firstly, if we can look at Stephen, he was born on the 23rd of August 1975 at 1:48 a.m., in New Bern, North Carolina.
N-E-U-B-U-R-N?
New, and then another word, B-E-R-N, yes.
Oh, B-E-R-N. Okay, let me see if I can find it in my atlas here. It's in Craven County, is that correct?
That's correct, I think, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I put
and
his chart in.
And if you just say, okay, Sandra Lee, oh, he was a prostitute for many lifetimes, I'll pay you $100.
Well, it's interesting you said that, because you can see that in a chart, and it's often squares with Pluto and Venus and sometimes with the moon. So, yeah, sometimes that does show up in a chart.
Well,
you know,
I'll tell you something funny. Stephen and I were both studying Firmicus Maternus, And according to Firmicus Maternus, Stephen should be somebody that commits matricide, and I should be a male prostitute. So we were laughing about the Firmicus Maternus information. Although there's a lot of wonderful information in the text, we were just laughing about that. Mm. But yeah, please go ahead.
And that was based on what? Your planetary aspects or what? Or the day you were born?
It was to do with aspects, specifically certain planetary aspects, as you said. So we were just laughing about it. But sorry, go ahead. We're really intrigued to see.
Okay, so the first thing I see is that he has, let's see, he has a stationary Neptune. Wow, what a seeker we have here. So people, so when he was born, and I'm trying to get exactly... I'm looking it up right now. I want to see if it went retrograde or went direct, because that can make a difference. So let me find it here. So it says it looks like it was turning direct in his chart. So he has been a seeker for a long time. He's had interest in the health fields in the past as well. The thing that struck me was his sun degree was in the very last degree of Leo. So in this lifetime, he has to learn a lot about ego as well as being humble. he has to find the balance. This is like almost a last chance lifetime to learn about his ego and to get it, get it under control, basically, is what it says. He has an exalted moon in his chart at the very top of his chart in Pisces. So this is just what I'm getting also. Pisces always reminds me of the Crusades or of people who were involved with religious movements in past lives. And because his is so prominent up there at the top of the chart, I would say, and you might laugh at this, but I would think in another lifetime he was some kind of spiritual person like a monk or someone who made a lot of sacrifices because of what he believed in. And most likely that could be belief in religion, something like that. So he could have marched in the Crusades looking at his chart that way. And then this Neptune again, I think he was some kind of healer in another lifetime. I think he had a lifetime where he lived out in the forest, and of course he collected herbs and things, and he used them to heal himself and also to heal other people. But in the other lifetime, he did not do well with relationships. There was a lot of fogginess, uncertainness, confusion about them, and that might be a carryover to this lifetime. Like maybe he's too idealistic. He has to find a balance there definitely in this lifetime with relationships, because that's something that's forming more from a more recent lifetime or this current lifetime, because it's in mutable signs. So when we see squares in a chart in mutable signs, they're usually forming in this lifetime. If we see them in cardinal signs, they're forming from like one or two lifetimes. And if we see them in fixed signs, they're from many, 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 many lifetimes, and those are the hardest to overcome.
How interesting. How interesting. I didn't know that, Sandra Lee.
Yeah, okay. So because the fixed signs deal a lot with ego and willpower and will, and they're more stubborn, right? So those are the harder ones to overcome, whereas his are mutable. So you overcome mutable squares, and he has them with Venus, Neptune, and Mars, and you overcome them by thinking about it, studying, getting information, learning about it, things like that. So it's working with the mind in this lifetime, communicating, gathering knowledge. So he I'm so happy that he's into spiritual things, because this chart could easily go in a direction that is more, let's see if I could find the right word, a little more bohemian, a little more kind of off the wall. This is a chart that could go a little extreme with substances. And so it's good that it sounds to me like he's on a spiritual path, and that would be very helpful to him to be able to direct these energies. So this is where the free will comes in, because he's choosing this path that allows him to be exposed to spiritual truths and spiritual philosophies. So, and then he's got that Mercury in Virgo in the fourth. Again, I get this monk-like energy from him from another lifetime. The moon
in
Pisces.
Say that, he does say that he feels he was a monk.
Mm-hmm, yeah, that's what I'm getting from the other lifetime. And I think he was very pious, very devoted. You know, this seems to stand out pretty strongly from that lifetime. And
how interesting.
And he's got the Gemini rising in this lifetime, which is a curious, very inquisitive, curious type of person who is looking for some answers. And it trines Uranus, so I assume he is really good with technology, right? Because the ascendant trining Uranus, sextiling the Sun and Leo, what a beautiful setup that is. Because he could be, I don't know, to me I would say he gets it, right? There are certain things he gets, he understands, that he probably brought over from another lifetime. So
he's a smart guy for sure, and he is always studying, always learning, never
ending. Yeah, always learning. It's kind of natural for him. He also has something that is very interesting, and it's called a Jupiter-Uranus opposition. And the Jupiter-Uranus opposition, according to Isabel Hickey, and I'm grabbing my book out of my bookcase, but if I'm not, that's someone who usually breaks from their early training, from their early experience in their family. Often it's people who break from the family, the religion of the family. So it's, let me just find Isabel Hickey, who I dearly love, and I met this woman before she died, and I had great respect for her. And she wrote a wonderful book called Astrology, a Cosmic Science. And in it, she has a lot of her theories about past lives, which I probably adopted a lot of mine from hers, that they've kind of stimulated me. But she says when you have Jupiter opposite Uranus, you're, of course, an independent person with strong determination, and it says the individual will break away from dogma but continue to search for religious values that will be meaningful. So that's the opposition. I see it with people who usually break away from the religion they were born in, because in a way there's a bit of a rebelliousness there. But you have to understand, in astrology, Jupiter and Uranus, when you get a transit to them, it's usually for most people a very lucky time, and that something really marvelous happens in their life. And I'm going to give you right now, I'm going to give you the date, and it's probably over a period of about a year, that once in a lifetime, usually for people, unless you live past about 85 years old, but once in a lifetime, you get this aspect. And you could be an infant, you could be 9 years old, you could be any age, right? So he's going to have transiting Uranus conjunct his Jupiter in the area that deals with friendships, but also wishes and dreams and hopes, of course. And that's going to happen in 2017. So that is supposed to be for him one, and then Jupiter also is opposite that point that year. So that's supposed to be one of his really banner years for really attaining something that he wants. That whole year of 2017 is pretty, I don't know, pretty dynamic for him. So there's going to be a big turning point in his life in a very positive way in that year.
Excellent.
And
wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sandra Lee. Well, we've got to take a short break, Sandra Lee, if you don't mind.
Okay.
It's just very brief, and then I would love to ask you to do the same with
a new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Sandra Lee. I mean, everyone's very excited about this because we're, you know, not that we're interested in ourselves, but it is wonderful to get your view on our past lives, etc. Well, I've got Maureen's data here, Sandra Lee, if you would like that now.
Okay, let's do Maureen.
So okay. Maureen was born on August the 1st, 1960, at 7:40 p.m., in Henderson, Nevada.
Okay, 7:40 in Henderson.
Yes.
All right, Maureen, let's see. So, Maureen, do you work as a psychic?
Yes, I am, yes.
Because you have a chart of someone who could, I mean, who easily connects to other people very easily. You have the chart of a counselor, right? Someone who, but often psychics have this kind of chart as well. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Now I'm reading your chart, and I also get some flashes that come in with it. So I could admit that there is some psychic ability here, but I see this very powerful Mars in your chart, on your IC, in the home area, and I do believe there was a lifetime. Ooh, that you might have died in a fire of some type. Mm-hmm. So always, and I don't think it would happen in this lifetime, but I would say always in this lifetime, you know, I don't think you're a smoker, but you know, to stay away from. You are?
I am. But not only that is, I had stage 3 melanoma in 1974, skin cancer, which is interesting because that's.
Yeah.
It's interesting because fire and sun and. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's Mars opposite your moon sign. And so you had some bad experience in a past life. It looks like it might have been fire. It could have been a volcano fire. There's different types of fire, right? So
right.
Let me go into your chart. So you're very much a rebel. You know that as far as your values and how you see life and things like that. And you have, let's see, I have to say that in another lifetime, you were very privileged. And you could, now, seriously, you could have either been royalty, and again, I don't believe that everybody's royalty. I don't believe that, you know, people who say I was Napoleon, I don't believe any of that. But in your chart, you definitely have some kind of royal connection. And so you lived a life that was very privileged and very, you know, financially easy on you. That was the other life. also, I see you as a male holding a book, and you have glasses on, and you're very scholarly. So I have to say that I really believe in another lifetime you taught people. You disseminated knowledge to people. I mean, not just information, right, but knowledge. And you, had the book of knowledge. That's what I see in your hands. I don't know if you read the Akashic Records. I wonder if that's what I'm picking up.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up. I just had a brand-new client reach out to me out of nowhere and asked me if I could read his those cards. Yeah.
But see, I think you might have done that before, so you're getting into that again now.
This is lovely. I love it. Yes, go on.
and then, let's see, what else is here? But you also had a lifetime where you did have a lot of power, like you were someone in a position of authority. But in that lifetime, you didn't always...
Bad. I was bad.
You misused that authority a bit.
I was bad.
So,
I think so.
You know, it was probably bad. But it wasn't horrible, but it was bad, and you had to answer to it. And, you know, it's funny you said about your skin, because something about the melanoma, because that's on the skin and it's on the surface and it's things that people see, and that might be a little bit of the karma from the lifetime where you abused your authority. Now, I don't know what part of the body your melanoma was on, but you see what I'm saying?
Stomach,
it still is something that's like a scar.
Right.
You know?
Well, I have a big scar because they took a big chunk of my muscle. Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. So I feel that was from the other lifetime. And then I think you had a couple lifetimes where you really dabbled in like black magic or things that were, you were very curious about, and you learned a lot from it, though. I can't, you know, it just says you, I think you're working on the side of the you know, the higher power, you know, the higher light rather than the darker light, the brighter
absolutely.
Light in
think this
lifetime.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Obviously.
You're right on.
Because
I
really,
know this.
Part of your purpose is you're helping other people now. This is what's really important. And you are. And you also, you're very good at waking people up, saying something, and boom, you really can hit a nerve, and it makes them stop and think. So,
So I you know, so what is interesting, because I do feel that you're right about, I did do some black, dark stuff too, but I think I have struggles for it, but everything you said is lovely. I mean, I appreciate mm-hmm. it. I really do appreciate mm-hmm. it. I think my moon's in Scorpio, Stephen. I think my moon's in Scorpio.
No,
your
I have it at
such.
0 degrees of Sagittarius,
oh, it's
21
Sag.
Minutes.
Okay, you know what? It's different astrology.
7:40 p.m. in Henderson. It was Pacific Daylight Time. Well, that
right.
was August 1st of 1960. Did I get that right,
right,
I hope?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have, that's right, they didn't have, somebody did my chart, I thought it was a Pisces, but I think there was a couple, what do you guys do different, isn't there
well, we use computers, and the computers don't make mistakes if we put in the right coordinates.
Yeah, I guess
so.
So
you have a Sag moon and an Aquarius rising, and you're a Leo. You were born right at sunset. In fact, you were born right at the moment of sunset. How exciting is that?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a thing about the chart. If you're born around noon, it usually means you have a career that's important to you or your position in the community. If you're born around midnight, it's about the home and family and your private life. If you're born right at sunset, and again, sunset is at different times during the year, and you were born right at the crack of sunset. The sun was just setting.
Yeah, I live at the beach, too.
Yeah, and that's all about other people. That's about putting other people first.
Oh, I love that.
And then if you're born right at dawn, it's about reinforcing who you are. You know, it's about self-expression. So that's just a little, if people out there know when they're born, they can kind of figure it out.
So I wasn't a whore, a prostitute, sorry.
Well, Maureen, I was going to say, if we look at mine now, and Sandra Lee says,
"Yeah, we can't wait for the prostitution."
Yeah, you were a hooker.
Well, you did have Venus, Uranus, square Mars. It was a wide square. So I would say that was many, 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 many lifetimes ago, because it's such a wide square. So yeah, you could have kind of dabbled in that. You could have. It's possible.
I've got
okay, so we want to go on to Stephen.
Thank you. That was fun.
You're welcome.
I mean, not fun. It was great.
Okay, well, yes, Sandra Lee, I've got a square to between Uranus and Venus, but yes, my date of birth is January the 13th, 75, and I was born at 10:25 p.m. or 10:26 p.m., and that's Chester, C-H-E-S-T-E-R, in England.
Well, I know you know your chart well, so let's make sure I have the right one. Is your rising sign 27 Virgo, 29 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. And the moon's in Aquarius with Venus and Mercury. Whoa, what a powerhouse. You have Mercury, Venus, and the moon all conjunct in Aquarius. So are you hiding your creative side? Is that what's going on? Or has it just come out maybe in your show? As there's a highly creative person here. And that trines Pluto. So you, like me, should be able to see past lives from the chart. All you have to do is study it a little bit. I also have a Mercury-Pluto trine like you do. So Pluto is the depths of the soul and the past lives, and you could easily read this. You have a powerful chart, of course, but you knew that. But you also have an angular Mars, so I don't get the fire for you so much, but you know what I get? I get like one of the Three Musketeers or somebody like that who's roaming around the countryside, always on the move. That's what I get with you from another lifetime. I get that kind of motion, that you're always moving. Or you could have been a gypsy. You know, it felt like you moved around from camp to camp and didn't necessarily stay in one life in one very significant lifetime. And then you, of course, you know you have a very good mind. You do grasp things very, very well. You have something you're a very old soul because your Venus exactly trines Pluto, and your Pluto is stationary. Now, Pluto deals with shamanism. Oh, it deals with so many things. Shamanism, and it says it's stationary retrograde, according to my look at it. So you have very, very deep knowledge and very deep power, very subtle power that people don't see on the surface with you. So this could be something from another lifetime where you you definitely you know, worked with these energies, the what I call the unseen energies, very powerful here. And it I feel like you were a person that they call, in a disaster, they called you because you were able to rebuild everything. You were able to put everything back together. And so, you know, I don't know what that means to a past life, but there was something like that. You did it very well. And you certainly, not only does your chart tell me that you dealt in not just shamanism, right, but other spiritual disciplines in another lifetime, but sit down because you perfected them. You absolutely perfected these things. And so in this lifetime, Stephen, it's a gift to you. This is a gift you have. So just the fact that you do this radio show, that you're a very popular astrologer yourself, and the other things you do, I'm going to say, it wasn't that hard for you to come by those things in this lifetime, because you have a beautiful trine between Jupiter and Saturn in your work area and career area. So you could say, well, yeah, I'm sure you worked hard because you studied and all this, but some things in your life just fell into place that brought you where you are now. Because that's Jupiter. Yeah, beautiful.
It's true, beautiful. Yes. And I always had really strong beliefs. As I didn't have a religious education, or my parents weren't church going, but I always just had really strong beliefs. Even as a kid, as far back as I can remember, I was adamant about certain beliefs in spirit and the afterlife, etc.
See, you have these three planets in Aquarius, Moon, Venus, Mercury, trining Pluto, right? And then you've got Neptune and the North Node on the midpoint of that. Or in other words, the Neptune forms a sextile to the Aquarius planets and to the Pluto in Libra. So it's right on the midpoint, very highly spiritual, very highly evolved, honestly. That's how I would see your chart. And in another lifetime, a lot of your ideas were not accepted. People didn't understand you, and so you were very much rejected. In this lifetime, you have a lot with publishing, writing. You have you have ideas that are on a grander scale that you can get to the masses with. That because of that north node in your third house in Sagittarius, the sign of publishing and the higher knowledge, I call it, the higher laws of the world, of the universe. So, but your south node's in the ninth, and so that says in another lifetime, again, you had all these ideas, but people just, they weren't ready to accept them. So this is the lifetime where the acceptance is by most people.
That's what I feel that... This lifetime, or this time, it represents an enormous opportunity to bring metaphysics, the value of metaphysics, to the masses.
Yeah.
That's what I feel.
And that's what you're doing.
It's something that should be fully integrated into education and all manner of fields.
And I don't know where exactly you live, but with this Mars in Sagittarius in your fourth house, you really need to, it's funny, I would think you need to, you know, it's sort of a double-edged sword, because Mars to me is you need to live in an area where there's a lot of activity, but the Sagittarius says you need your own little sanctuary within that area, right?
That's what I do.
So because, so it's like combining those energies, which not everyone could do, right? Only some people can do that. And then you have your Sun opposed Saturn. So that means that,
unfortunately,
authority unfortunately. And how you maybe haven't accepted authority. You know, there's a lot about authority and being accepted sometimes by people. And Sun opposite Saturn says skin, teeth, bones, and knees. So in this lifetime, you may struggle with one of those things. And it doesn't have to be anything horrible, but, you know, make sure you go to the dentist. You know, make sure that your back's not hurting you as you get older, whatever. But that's Saturn. Saturn is so much the structure of the body. And with the Sun opposite it, it's a wide opposition, but it's still an opposition. So it just says you those are things you pay attention to. So, again, past lives, I mean, I see a healer in you from a past life with the Jupiter. I see somebody who, I believe, you know, you had a lifetime where family, you had to sacrifice family. You had to sacrifice family in order to achieve something in that other lifetime. That's the Saturn retrograde in Cancer.
Tell you something very interesting about that. Before I met my first partner, I had a very vivid dream. I was living in the south of Spain. I was at a dinner table with all of my family. There were many people at the table. And I knew that I was leaving the family. I was going to study medicine, but I was going a long distance from home. And I remember seeing a guy at the other end of the dinner table. And a week later, I was in London and I saw him. And he became my first partner.
Wow.
Yeah. And he walked, there was a very busy train station. It was packed. And I was getting off a train. He was getting off a train, but we were a great distance from each other. And I saw him and I just thought, this is him from the dream, from a dinner table in Spain. And he just walked straight over to me through the crowds and shook my hand and said, "Hi, my name's Antonio." And he was from Seville.
Wow.
Yeah. I've had some very interesting experiences like that with memories and dreams and people coming back into my life.
Yeah, and maybe that's your Venus Uranus square, though it's kind of wide, but that's where you choose relationships that are a little bit more unconventional, right, for society.
I have, in the past.
Yeah, that's the Venus-Uranus square. And I have the Venus-Uranus opposition, but I always tend to like people who have lifestyles that are very different, unique, unusual. You know, I like that. So, but Uranus is also the planet of astrology. Some people look at Mercury as a planet of astrology, but I really think it's Uranus.
I do as well. Well, Sandra Lee, this has been amazing. I'm so grateful. But I want to thank you on behalf of my colleagues, Maureen and Stephen. This has been fantastic. Now, tell us, if somebody wants to contact you and understand their past lives, their karma, etc., how can they get in contact with you?
Well, probably best to email me. My email is Sandra Lee, and Lee is L-E-I-G-H, at SandraLee.com. You just repeat the first part. And that's probably the best way to contact me.
Great. And Sandra Lee, have you got a book or do you plan a book on past lives?
Well, I was thinking of it today as we were talking about it.
We want it.
Yeah, I know.
We want it.
I should write one, and I should, but I haven't yet. So let me just say that. Let's hope that it's in my future.
Yes, well, we'll be looking out for everything that you do. And it's been an absolute, honestly, a joy to have you with us. And you've given us a huge amount of information and you've helped us personally as well and really inspired us to explore these past lives and all of these experiences that we've had that we carry into this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed connecting with your energy and everyone else's energy there. I feel that connection with all of you. I just want you to know that.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Well, Sandra Lee, what do you have planned for the rest of the year? Obviously, you're going to write the book that we've asked for. What else have you got happening?
Well, also, you know, there's an ESAR conference, the International Society for Astrological Research, in Arizona, in Chandler, Arizona. People could go to esarastrology.com. And I'm going to be lecturing there on destiny aspects, I call them, like aspects in a chart that point towards your destiny. And that's happening from September, I think it's like the 22nd to the 25th of September in Chandler, Arizona. So I have that planned coming up next month.
Excellent. Well, I'll certainly be checking that out, Sandra Lee. And
yeah,
thank you once again for joining us. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you, Sandra Lee.
Well, thank you. And you have a lovely evening.
Thank you very much. Wow, guys, now you didn't expect that, did you? Or maybe you did.
It was lovely. I really enjoyed. I loved listening about myself as well.
I found the part about myself interest really fascinating. We're all egotistical.
Well, you know, she nailed that one on the head with me, you know, talking about my ego. So right now what my ego wants to do is to make a couple of our special announcements. We definitely do not want you to go anywhere because we're about to have a fascinating banter session about all that we've learned. And you, the listener, I want to remind you, you can find out more about exploring your past lives and astrology in general by visiting Sandra Lee Cirio at sandralee.com. And that's Lee spelled as L-E-I-G-H, sandralee.com. Definitely go over there and check her out. Also, another reason you don't want to go anywhere is because we have a whole hour left where you can call in to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We're about to announce that call-in number in a few minutes, so go ahead and get your pen and paper ready and get prepared to take that number down. Last week, we had Dr. Art Carnot on, and Nona Marie interviewed him regarding energy healing and doing it remotely. If you could not catch that show live, I'd like to remind you that you can find it at psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. So we'd like you to circulate the Archives link and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many of you as possible. But psychicaccess.com is a full-spectrum, comprehensive psychic expansion network of sites. In addition to the psychicaccesstalkradio.com site, we also have psychic bloggers where you can learn about everything from psychic development, anything related to paranormal, anything related to reincarnation and soulmate seeking, just a huge array of topics. Visit psychicbloggers.com and enjoy yourself reading the encyclopedia of high-quality blogs submitted by several high-quality, accuracy-tested psychics, all of whom work at psychicaccess.com. By the way, speaking of psychicaccess.com, if you need a free reading from the best professional psychics on the net, visit us, check us out, psychicaccess.com. If you've never registered there before, you get a free 6-minute reading from myself, Steve, Maureen, or any other psychic who works there. Definitely want to check it out. Each psychic has a detailed profile so that you can learn more about them. You can learn whether they use tools, what kind of tools, their track record. You can read their reviews and see what other people have to say about them. Visit psychicaccess.com and you'll see what I mean. It's a total honor to be affiliated with that company and to work with Doug, where he has established a total scam-free zone, and we really do have the best customer satisfaction in the world. All of the co-hosts here, as I've mentioned, on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com also work at Psychic Access. And if you need a personal reading from any one of us, we would be delighted to talk to you, so please visit us at PsychicAccess.com. Incidentally, if you own a website, if you have a nice little piece of internet real estate staked out for yourself, you know, why not earn some free money? You can get 50 cents per minute on every reading from traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. We do all the work for you. We supply you with attractive, dynamic banners and ads. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, and we certainly hope that you do, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and invite them to listen to The Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone. So spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Back to you, Steve.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, what a great interview. I really enjoyed it. Did that resonate with you, Maureen? In other words, did you find your insight accurate?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, because of my own... Yeah, I thought it was interesting that she approached me in a way, are you a counselor? She wasn't sure what I did, which I kind of liked, because she doesn't know what I was, you know, who am I? Who am I is a real question I've been asking. We all wake up and we live, who am I in this world? The main question. No, but she thought, you know, something about a counselor, right? Which Marie is. She's a, you know, academia-wise. But she did ask me that. I thought it was very interesting. I like that. And things that she touched on, which is interesting that I do know. I don't believe in anything as I say. But I do know that I did some real bad things. I did dabble in some black men. I'm not saying anybody has to believe this. I don't say I believe it, but I know. There were some things that I did. I was very powerful, but I also know that in this life, I've gone a little bit berserk, and I've been led by what the perceptions of people have been, the perceptions of me, and I've sponged that in, and so I've been running around circles trying to prove myself, and it's not healthy. And so my main thing, I think, and there was a time where I think I was very, I loved, she thought about me as a teacher, but there was a time where I was very quiet. You know, I'm very talkative in this life. I talk fast. And the work I do is very important, but I need to go back to a time where I could just be not talking and people could get just as much insight instead of running around trying to prove myself to everybody. You know, I'm good. Look at this. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I feel very strongly about, and they're not pretty, you know, when she said something that I privileged life, you know, that's great. And, you know, I am not one that's like, well, I was a queen of the denial, you know. Mine were pretty intense, but I do feel that sometimes I know this so well, I do feel that we, you know, what interests me a lot, and with the astrology, I find it just lovely. And like she spoke of Carl Jung, and you, I mean, I've said, you guys know how I feel, but everybody listening, I you know, if I wanted to ever go on and get degreed, I would want to have been a union psychotherapist. That's what I would have wanted to do. But the thing of it is, you know, he believed, and like, I don't like to use the word, but he had a lot to do with the astrological planets and the archetype symbols. You know, we spoke about that with my sister a couple weeks ago, the archetypes, but that our birth charts are unique and they map out our soul. So there is a big relationship about our past lives and looking at the chart, and that's where you guys come in. But I do feel that sometimes it would be nice, and some people are against this. I'm not saying everybody should always know exactly or in perfectly, but I think that we would be a little bit kinder to one another if we could remember some of our past lives, because then we would be having compassion for other people that are going through maybe what we'd already, you know, like someone less fortunate, someone on the street, we've been through that in the past. We would be able to be more collectively conscious, I think. Do you follow me, you guys?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And
I think that having an understanding of previous lives is incredible, Maureen, because it enables us to see what work we can do in this lifetime, how we can bring
absolutely.
Value to people.
And
but
also not judge them.
Yes,
not judge.
Also how we can overcome some of the traumas from the past.
Yes. And I do feel, though, but if we knew about what we did before, I think people would love each other, be kinder, or maybe. And, you know, my daughter said something interesting. I had a child that was 6 months old, and she died. And she could, you know, 6 months along. She was a baby. But Mariah said something interesting. And I would have never had Mariah if Madeline Rose had lived. But Mariah said something. She goes, I think she stepped, and she was really young, like 2 and a half. She goes, I think she decided you weren't the right mommy for it. So she stepped out, she stepped back, and because I was the one that was right for you to be my mommy.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, and you know, maybe she's right. And I think, look at what she's doing now, you guys. Come on. Maybe there's something to this. I don't know. So, yes. Thank you, Steve. Great, great guest. And I really like the subject. And that's all
thank
I have to say
you.
Right now.
Wonderful, Maureen. Thank you for that. Well, Stephen, what do you think?
Wow. Well, first of all, I was not surprised. I already knew that Sandra Lee Serio is a very, very talented, experienced, and knowledgeable astrologer. So I was not surprised that she was so accurate in her judgment of my nativity. First of all, she made the statement that I probably was interested in healthcare when I was younger. What she doesn't know is that I was actually accepted into medical school. I was accepted into Rutgers University and the University of Medicine and Dentistry. At the same time, they had a special dual acceptance program. I elected not to go to medical school. I majored in biochemistry. So she hit that. She pounded that nail on the head. Let's see here. She mentioned my 10th house moon in Pisces. Now, I want to point out that when evaluating past lives, the moon is a definite item to examine, because it shows sort of where you came from. And so she nailed that head on that. She hit that nail on the head as well. The moon in Pisces is an obvious priestly sort of a function. Do you see? So I was thrilled with her accuracy, and you know, I certainly need no convincing about how pertinent astrology is for us. It's certainly everything that will ever happen to anyone is described in the birth chart. Stephen Arroyo, the very talented modern psychological astrologer in his Karma and Transformation, said that there's the nativity, the birth chart, is nothing but karma. Nothing but karma. Everything in it is karma. Now, specifically, in addition to the moon as a symbol of where we come from in our past lives, you know, the sun shows a bit of where we're going, where we're headed to, you see. And also the psychic, the so-called psychic trinity of houses, the water houses 4, 8, and 12. These are also repositories of karmic data, because, you know, we progress through our incarnations And we collect every experience, every memory. It collects and accretes and is retained in our subconscious. The psychic trinity of houses 4, 8, and 12, they show this this mass of collected memories and experiences that we've carried through us from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. It's all there. It's fascinating stuff. I diverge from yourself and Sandra Lee in the opinion of Uranus representing astrology. I tend to look at Mercury and also Saturn as being significators for astrology itself. But you know, I subscribe to a rather more antiquated tradition, and in the old days they didn't really use the outer planets anyway. But I mean, what a wonderful show though! I enjoyed every bit of it. Fabulous, fabulous show, and I was glad she decided to poke around in my nativity. I jumped at that. No way in the world I was going to miss the opportunity for Sandra Lee Cirio to plunge her hands into my soul and, you know, see what's there.
And it's exciting. It's really exciting to see that we can get this type of insight for clients.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, in the sense that, for example, you know, I would suppose that another area of divergence is that, you know, the traditional astrologers, they did not really see things in terms of free will or anything of that sort. So, you know, their attitude was where there's smoke, there's fire. And as a consequence, the old way of doing astrology produces probably much more concrete and specific detail. For example, if we look at the nativity of Princess Diana, you know, her ending was completely, very much shown in her nativity. It was her birth figure indicates that she would die with a partner, and that her partner would be the cause of her death, and that she would be the cause of his. Do you see? So astrology is spooky in the way that it can prognosticate both the beginning and the end of anything.
Well, her chart's spooky when you progress Charles's chart to the time of her death and then ask yourself the question, who was behind it?
Well, you know, Prince Charles himself is shown, I mean, just like Sandra Lee said, other people in your life are figured in the birth chart. And Prince Charles is Princess Di's seventh house Mercury, do you see? Now, you know, when the time was right, now the astrological chart, it has its own rhythm. And it's also affected by rhythms outside of it, like transiting planets. So, you know, we have the pattern. We spoke about the original pattern of your birth chart. But there's also a few different layers on top of that pattern that shift the pattern, that permute the pattern, that vary the pattern, such that, you know, the year varies from year to year in terms of ill and goodness, do you see? So it's an interesting science. It's one that is thousands of years old and has a large body of academic and scholastic expert opinion to buttress it and support it. And really, it's changed my life. I know my clients appreciate it when I elect, for example, times for them to find a partner or to start a business enterprise or to list their house for sale. It's extremely valuable to them. I can't emphasize how valuable it is to humanity. And I'm convinced that as our society progresses, we're going to see astrology being incorporated more and more into things like healthcare and hopefully even into governance. I would love to see that. So yes. Long as all the astrologers helping the governance are good astrologers, you see, that's always a possibility. In Asia, where astrology is much more widely accepted in society, we have a situation where, you know, astrologers can help evil regimes to do things. And we see this all the time as astrologers.
Apparently Saddam Hussein had an astrologer in every palace. Well, Maureen, do you feel that we'll be successful bringing metaphysics into the mainstream in our lifetimes?
Oh, I'm well, you know how I feel about that because of my daughter, and I'm bringing her up again because it's not just because I'm so proud of her, because it's a fact of what's going on. I mean, she has, I'm not kidding you, she has me doing something with physics. Is it? Yeah, physics, a person in physics who wants to do a controlled study with me. And so he's really cool guy, real open, but he also is not someone who just wants to debunk. He wants to bring about, we're merging. So yes, absolutely. But I, you know, and she is part of my family. I want to bring up what your guest also, Steve, I'm sorry to well, it goes into kind of what you're asking, but about the family, she mentioned something how we pick our families and so on. But you know, and again, yep, Carl Jung, who I go by a lot, but I just feel he just has it right. I just feel that whatever I've you know, researched about him and his stuff, he has it right. But you know, it's like within our family, there's like a lot of karmic inheritance that is handed down. This is what he felt, you know, talked about in the family line, along with the generic blueprint, of course. But we inherit deeply entrenched emotional and like mental perspective. So as well, we get like musical or mathematical talents, but we also get that depression or alcoholism, abuse, certain illnesses are also inherited. But what he would, you know, like the Kennedy curse they used to talk about, right? But even if we believe that our soul picks our family and our karmic inheritance so that we can inherit both the gifts and the challenges needed for our higher soul growth, it's like still hard to understand essentially the soul's choice of when and where to incarnate. And so that's the mystery. But astrologers believe where he was sitting, he was all for you guys, I'm going to say, because you guys are so good. He believed that because of the moment of birth is the key element in the life story, because it gives us a generic or karmic blueprint of the soul, a map of the psyche. So by looking at our family members' chart, we can go deeper in the emotional patterns. I'm sure you guys have, you know, done some work with people like that. I feel maybe. And it would be playing out for generations. I mean, if you could go back into generations and look, I don't know what you guys feel about that, but the planet Pluto would be strongly help tell the tale of that. But karmic things, patterns and stuff, there can be curses or blessing. But I do feel that the family and it's a family linkage, not with just the DNA, but with everything. But astrology, overlapping the charts, can really help see a lot. And I think that's just fantastic. And yes, it's here already, Steve, with the metaphysics. And yeah, absolutely. Mariah's, she's an Ivy League school. What the heck, what they're doing? They're out there. They're open.
It's very exciting. We live in an exciting time.
Yeah, we do. I'm really excited about that. We do. We're looking. This is the new mind. This is what the Mayans had planned, okay? This is a new beginning. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, if y'all don't mind, I'd like to go ahead and distribute the call-in number so that people can, you know, in a few minutes here, go ahead and call us up and get in the line. So if you've got your pad and paper handy, go ahead and copy this number down. It is 724-444-4851. I will repeat that. It is 724-444-4851. Okay, so once you get on the line, you're going to be placed on hold. You'll be able to hear the show. You'll be able to hear the banter. You'll be able to hear everything, so you'll be able to relax and wait. We're going to get to you, okay? So once you get on the line, we ask that you're very direct with your question so that because we can only take one question per person in the interest of getting to everyone. Also, we respectfully ask that you avoid, for lack of a better term, you know, being too nosy about others. It's fine to ask about, you know, how things are going to go with your partner, but please try to avoid questions like, what's Davey's social security number or things like that, okay? So just to keep that in mind. So once again, that number is 724-444-4851. Thank you very much. All right, back to you guys. That's all I had.
Thank you, Stephen.
I just wanted to throw that out there, you know?
The social security number was a good one. That was
well,
funny.
Well, you know, we can't have people calling up and asking, you know, the intimate, truly intimate details of someone else's personal business. You know, asking about, hey, you know, does Davey love me? You know, that's fine. We can deal with that. But, you know, asking about, you know, too intimate details. Like, you know, does he really have hemorrhoids? You know, please don't ask us those questions. You know, so.
Roid Hems. It's called Roid Hems.
Roid Hems.
Sorry. Okay, we got. Or we could pig Latinize it. Roid Hemes. Well, never mind. At any rate. But you know, that sort of stuff is shown in the astrological chart, too. There was an Arabic astrologer named Abu Bakr who was a physician. And man, boy, his writings, they described the astrological configurations for everything from a fatty liver to hypertrophied genitalia to everything. I mean, it's every physical dropsy, every physical thing that you can possibly think of. I mean, the guy was a physician. You know what I mean? So, you know, his contribution to astrology was really, really, really great. So I'm currently studying him just to see what his take on medicine is, you know. So it's very interesting stuff, Steve. I'm so glad you brought Sandra Lee on tonight. That was a treat.
Yes, it was. It really was. Really, I very much enjoyed that interview. We'll have to. I'm sure we'll all be digging back into the archive to listen again to the little segments about our past lives, where we came from, where we're going.
Oh, you are a psychic, aren't you?
We don't have to be very psychic to know that you'll be doing that.
Man, you called that. You called that one, man. I had already resolved to do that like 5 seconds into her analysis. That's how fine it was. And, you know, really, our listeners should definitely jaunt on over to SandraLee.com and check her out. They will not regret doing it, for sure.
She has a great book on prenatal eclipses.
Now, you know, the prenatal lunations are very important. You know, they were important also throughout antiquity as well. So, and that's something I learned recently, how important the degree of the moon's either conjunction or opposition with the sun before the birth was. I think the notion, the idea is that this is when you're actually ensouled or something of that nature. But it's one of the top five significators in astrology, the prenatal lunation. It's very interesting stuff. It's just such a sprawling field, Steve. I mean, really, what I want to emphasize is that astrology is a consulting profession akin to medicine and law. To become a good astrologer, Sandra Lee Serio had to study for many decades. You know, this is not trivial. She had to study a very long time in order to amass her reputation, her experience, and also, you know, her knowledge. You know,
she's a great person as well. She's a really lovely, genuine person.
Yeah, I really liked her a lot. But you know what, Steve? Okay, we have a caller now from Virginia for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Virginia. How are you, Virginia State?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. May I have your name, please?
It is Lakevia.
Hi. What can I help you with?
Well, I was calling regarding my husband. His name is Macaulay, and I had a problem regarding his job because he's in the military, and he has been, you know, getting in some trouble lately, and I fear that he's going to lose his job. I'm trying to figure out, is it going to happen or what is going to happen with his job in a long term?
Oh, okay, got it. So you have a valid fear, it sounds like, to me. Okay, bless your heart. I'm sorry to hear that, but I get it. And so you want to know if things are going to flow in a good direction rather than not? Because, okay.
Yeah. Because we've got that stability. That's how we've been living, been making it for the past couple of years. So,
right. Well, this is what I'm seeing. You know, I do see him. I see him. Something internally going on with him, whatever went on or what he did, a mistake or what he should have done, it's like I feel that I see two sides of him, but this is him. He looks like he really wants to be, let me ask you this, wants to be the man of romance and a man that would take care of you, but also the very kinder side and sensitive side. He's in the military. I know a lot of times, I mean, I'm not labeling people, but he does appear, had he been courting you when you first met him, courting, like real sensitive? Was he gentle at one time? Okay.
Yeah, he's been going through a change.
Right, so he's changed, but I do see him coming back. He's in his true skin when he's like more gentle and he's like Roy. I see him romantic and also planning things and wanting to court you and just he's almost like you're the knight in shining armor. I guess I'm going to tell you that, but I do feel it's still there. But what's going on is I feel that he's holding on to something that he feels very strongly by principle that is right. Whether it be his something, it's almost like someone that maybe is looking like it's not money or so much or material, but it feels almost like such. It's so important to him. So there's something I feel that he's not conforming to that everybody else is supposed to in the military. So what I'm getting, and I don't know the whole situation here, but I do feel that there is a principle that he has going on. I don't, I I like him. I do, but I don't feel that it's very difficult if he is in a military, a career, job, mm-hmm. or life, and he mm-hmm. also is going against the grain of what you're supposed to not be doing. Do you follow that? Because
right.
that's exactly what I feel. I do see that he's almost like waiting for a ship to come in, and I'm not saying that in a bad intentional way, because when people go, oh, you're waiting for your ship, what I feel is that he's kind of waiting for what really is connected with him. I feel the military is not, he doesn't feel very strong about them. He doesn't feel, he doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust within whatever's going on. I do feel, if you're concerned about his work, I see actually, you know, the things we think we don't need are the things we need the most. I honestly feel that he's been, I'm with him with something. I'm with him. I see him going towards another type of opportunity, and it looks like he's going to be able to show off what he's got going finally. And I do feel that he's creative, and I finally see a sense of justice surrounding him. And it doesn't make him a bad guy. I know it's probably very hard for you, but it's almost like somebody that doesn't belong in that career or that work or that life. Does that feel, do you feel that with him? I mean, do you feel, and it's
yes,
an awful place.
I know he said he don't like it. He's been in for about 12 years. He don't like it anymore. But my thing, I would like to, for him, I want him to be happy in what he does, but it's like you have to transition from it. You have to
take
the time and get out of the military, not get kicked out. You understand?
You're absolutely right. But I want to tell you, I do see him getting, and you know, maybe you're the one that's going to help him do that nice little caring with compassion push with compassion. And sometimes it's going to be hard for you because you're getting frustrated. I get that. But I also feel that I see a real positive thing. And it looks like around before the first of the year, like, well, starting in November, October, and November. Like October, November, December, there's a lot of eventful things going on. I see a sense of justice. I see fairness. Anything legal will be no problems there, which is good because he won't be kicked out. But I do feel that maybe you're the one, I feel very strongly about this, that maybe if you can, with compassion, look at it and let him and give him the push he needs or support. And try to, it's going to be hard for you to do this. It is. But there is if there's any legal things coming on, I see it will be favorable for him and you.
Yes, because I want him to do what he loves, but at the same time, he has to understand we have a family. So let's plan for it.
You're right.
You just get in trouble. You know, let's plan for it, take time, save money for it,
I don't feel it's going to work out like that because he can't. There's something there's some unfairness that's been happening here. But I do feel that there's something that is very good that he has a lot going for him. He just needs someone to have a little bit of support with him. And I do feel strongly he's going to be heading towards that way. All I can say is I see incompletion still right now, but I feel that mm-hmm. you have to trust in him. I feel he's got something going much better. And if he feels so lost and he doesn't have anybody support, I mean, I know it's a lot to ask of you. He does want to help his family. He's going to go downhill if he sticks around and pretends. But I see positive coming your way. I see you celebrating within 3 months with girlfriends. I feel that you're going to make a change, a big change. And I feel that there's no reason for you to be in self-imprisonment. Let yourself liberate yourself and see another point of view to this and really help him along. Thank you. I need to go now.
Thank you. Much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I hope I helped you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
I heard it.
Thank you very much for calling. You can find Maureen at psychicaccess.com. Steve, you have a caller from New Jersey.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from New Jersey?
Arnett.
Hi, Arnett. How are you doing?
Good.
Great. My question, how can we help?
My question is, I started talking to a guy. He said he's in the process of breaking up with a girl. I don't know. I'm wondering if you see that happening. Are we going to get together or what's going to happen with that situation?
Ooh, I don't feel good about it, in honesty. I don't feel that he's being honest with you. about his situation. So, I mean, I don't want to be negative, but it's what I feel, and I feel it quite strongly. I feel that you need to really keep your wits about you in this situation and, you know, protect your own heart. Be cautious. I don't mean that you should no longer interact with him, but I do feel that you should take it slowly and really take your time to understand what his true circumstances are. I do feel that he would potentially leave his current partner, but I don't feel that he's in a situation right now in which she understands that's the case. So it's quite a complex situation from what I can see. The other thing is, I feel that even if he was available, even if he were single right now, I feel that you would need to also take your time, because I'm not convinced from what I see in the cards or from what I feel just intuitively that he's the perfect match for you, let's say. So in a nutshell, it's a complicated situation.
Okay.
You shouldn't rush. Get to know him step by step, and look after yourself and your heart, and, you know, keep your options open, I would say. But I don't feel that you would be with him in the long term anyway. But I do feel that you'll have opportunities for love. I also feel, incidentally, that you're very likely to move, and I don't feel that that's with him necessarily, but I feel like you're about to engage in something quite different that's going to take you further afield. So my honest feeling on this is keep your options open. Okay.
Okay. When you say move, do you mean like move to another town or move in, like, relationship wise?
It didn't feel relationship oriented. I feel that it's likely that you'll move, that you will change your home and go a fair distance, actually. I don't feel it is right now, but I do feel that that's on the cards for you.
Okay. Is it back with, like, an ex or something, or just somebody totally different?
I feel it's different. I feel it's totally different.
Okay.
All right. We wish you lots of luck. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling us tonight. And if you listening at home would like a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a call from Ohio. Hello, Ohio.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Hi, this is Amy. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Amy. Thank you very much for asking. How may I help you this evening?
Hi, I have a couple of they're real major deep issues.
Okay.
Number one, real quick, my daughter, and my young daughter, and there's a court case with her right now, major issue, that I need some type of resolve for that, about what's going to happen with that. And number two, this guy who I've known for 14 years, he's my twin flame, as a matter of fact. And we've had problems, but what's going to go with him? But first, my daughter, if you could answer that for me.
Okay. Well, let's see what we can pick up with your daughter and her case. You said this is she's got a very important court case, right?
Yeah, I'm in court. Right, I'm in court right now with her father, and I need to know what's going to happen with that.
Okay, one second. Let me pick up on that, all right?
Okay.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, this is a complex situation, Amy. First of all, I see that there's going to be a major, at the beginning of a policy change as well here. So now, how do we interpret that? Could this refer to some sort of a visitation or whatever? I'm not sure, but what I am sure about is that you should be happy with the resolution of the court case. And the reason I say that is because I think that the situations that was in play before the court case got started, whatever that might be, I'm convinced that that is the situation that will be restored or maintained by the courts. Do you see? And the reason I say this, I have a definite logic for this, is because I'm picking up a huge amount of fixity here in this situation. And so family matters are obviously highlighted here. And so what I do believe is going to happen with the court case is that the result of it is going to be such that it preserves the integrity of your family. In other words, if this is a custody issue, I would expect you to have main custody, or for whatever that means. But there will be a policy change. I want to emphasize that as well. So, I would expect also that there might have to be some sharing involved, or you might have to compromise, in other words. Do you see what I mean? But otherwise,
right.
I'm expecting...
Right. Real quickly, you're right. I have full custody of her now. Her father was doing cocaine. And I divorced him, and then he smoked up again. He did it again, and I had it. So I filed a custody on him to revise the parenting thing. I have full custody of her, just the visitation.
Right.
I mean, because he's on drugs. I mean, it's insane. And I'm sick with the courts, but I know I think it's going to go good, but, it's just aggravating right now.
I know it's going to be hard for you to relax, but I can tell you, judging from what I'm seeing, there's going to be a good resolution here. You don't have to worry about your daughter, for example, spending any time really around a man who uses drugs. The change in policy, so to speak, that could refer just to the financial underpinning of this custody issue. So it could be that the courts will either A, absolve the man of paying child support for some reason. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how courts behave. Or B, they'll force him to start doing so. It's going to depend on the situation now. So if he's not paying support, then the court will probably force him to do so. And if he is, the court might compromise with him by letting him out of the alimony or the child support and giving up any custody. Either way, no matter how it works, what I see here, and this is the thing to take away from this, is that you're going to be satisfied with the court proceedings. It's going to keep your family intact, and your daughter will be protected from bad influences as well. Now, unfortunately, because of restrictions, I can't get to your second question, okay? I can only do one question at a time.
That's fine. I appreciate it a lot. I really do.
Yes, ma'am. I decided that was probably going to be the more important question to deal with. You know, children generally take precedence over partners. And so I can tell you right now, if to the degree that you can force yourself to relax or allow yourself to relax, go ahead and do that, because I see that the excessive worry is pointless. There's no need for it, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Amy, I really appreciate you calling us, okay? Come check us out at psychicaccess.com if you need any updates or any further guidance, all right?
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good night. Thanks.
Yes, ma'am, you as well. Now we have a caller from Ontario for Maureen.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Ontario, Canada. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. May I have your name, please?
My name is Corrine.
Hi, Corrine. I hope that. And what can I help you with?
I just wanted to know if my boyfriend's cheating on me.
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, first of all, I just want to bring this up. Everybody in the world listening, do you feel that he is, and the reason I'm asking you that is because, I mean, I'll look into this, but there's obviously you don't trust him anyway. So
yeah,
there's
exactly.
Must be something.
Right.
There's something going on that has not been repaired, and you can't repair the past with fantasy, so if you haven't repaired something yet. So have you had a situation where you had distrust, betrayal, for a fact, or is this something? I mean, you know what I mean. Okay. This is what I'm getting. What I'm getting, useless sacrifice has been going on with this. You haven't been getting any resurrection with this boyfriend, with the situation going on. And I'm not saying he's a bad person, but what I am seeing is this, that, when people do useless sacrifice, it's so tormenting because, it's like getting nailed to the cross, but you don't get resurrection. What up with that? I mean, if you're going to be going through so much pain, resurrection is what you ideally would want to focus on, right? So the thing of it is, this has been ongoing, and you look like, my gosh. Have you been with him for over 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have there already been any pregnancy? I mean, there's sensitive things have never been, I mean, you've been dismissed with some pretty harsh things.
Yeah.
You, I feel for you. I what I'm seeing here is that you can become so down on yourself. Your expectations are so high, and I'm not sure what his problem is, but I'm sure it's not really you at all, but you get so down, nobody would even know it, and it's worrisome. But I also feel that there's something to do with things in fertility that you had a hard time with. Some things have painful, and he wasn't around, and it's almost like you're feeling like you're trapped in as a kept woman. And I'm not saying that that's how you are, but the feeling I'm getting is sometimes we put ourselves in a situation, you're losing yourself. That's what I'm seeing. You're losing yourself. So whether he's cheating on you or not, the fact that you just feel he is because there's some past stuff that you've never worked out or you don't trust, I kind of am getting a feeling, even with that, whether he's cheating on you or not, it's not a good thing, because you're becoming a person that's not really who you are. Do you follow me on that? Because I really feel strongly, you're such a strong woman. And I do see you getting some really good news. You know, you've had so much heartache. There's been so much severing of your heart and pain with him. And this is what I feel. I see a delayed trip. If you thought about doing a trip together or something, there is a delay. There's some intense stuff that you're going through. I feel you're going through a rebuilding of your foundation, which is something that the mystics thought was crazy for anybody to do. But you're rebuilding something that will work for you, and a lot of people won't fit into your life anymore. And I see you coming up on top. It may be that you might not be with somebody, but things are not what they appear to be. I'm not even seeing your boyfriend here. A lot of times I do, but I feel that you're with a gentleman who I feel has some big time issues way before he met you that he's not able to cope with. And you certainly weren't. And also there's interference of a manipulating, like you have everything here for a terrible, you know, a lifetime made for a movie type of deal. I see a female. I see another female. I see two females, but one particularly is a troublemaker, interfering and gossiping and toxic, who knows both of you. And it's just, I see that you're seeking to be calm. You need some peace. You need to bring yourself back to yourself. I don't feel you should be waiting for your boyfriend to change. Like, you can't change him. But what I do see, I see some rage around him. Does he ever? Is he raging at all towards you? Ever?
Yeah, sometimes he does.
Okay, it's not going to get better. He's having some big time problems. It's going to be hard. Baby step this. If you can just baby step boundaries and just detaching. I'm not saying you'll never be with him again, but by doing so, he'll change. Not because you're playing games either. And I really am encouraging you to do this. It's really important, because you don't need to be going through his work with him. Okay.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I know. I'm sorry. You're not fusing. It's really difficult, but this is your time to find yourself, reconnect with yourself. Grab yourself while you can. Please. You're a great one.
I'll take your advice. Thank you.
Okay. And take care. I know it's hard, but don't be hard on yourself. Just do the best you can, okay? And take care. Thank you for calling.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much for that, Maureen. If any of you listening at home would like a reading with Maureen, by all means, find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, Steve, you have a caller from Orange County.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling from Orange County? Orange County, are you there? We can't hear you if you are. Let's see, Stephen, maybe we need to take another caller.
Yeah, I think we're going to see what's coming through the transom here, Steve. One second, we're going to get somebody through to you in just a few short minutes here. While we have this break, I'd like to go ahead and pass out the number again. It is 724-444-4851. So, Steve, while we're waiting for more callers to come through here, can you explain to me, like, how you became aware of Sandra Lee Serio's work? Because now that, you know, you've made me more aware of her, I'm interested in visiting her site and perhaps learning more about her work. How can you explain maybe your history with her?
Well, she wrote a fascinating article that was published in the Mountain Astrologer magazine. It's a magazine that I follow. And yeah, that's how I first heard of Sandra Lee. Do you have that magazine?
I actually do not. I know the magazine you're talking about. It's a very, it's a widely admired industry magazine, very, very well respected, and it's certainly worthwhile checking out. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, maybe I'll get that as a gift for you in exchange for the audio files that you're sending
hey,
me.
Sure. Okay. I mean, generally, a lot of my study material has been the older guys, but you know, I like a lot of newer astrologers as well. I mentioned Stephen Arroyo; his writings I found to be quite helpful, and so yeah, the Mountain Astrologer. I've come across articles online or that were have been quoted, but yeah, I haven't had the pleasure of reading it yet. So I'm excited about that.
Well, we'll have to fix that.
Well, I'm really insanely interested in the topic of past lives. You know, being a Leo, I guess I can't imagine myself not existing. So, you know, I love the idea that some version of
the world,
me.
Well, could hold on, but could the world exist without you?
No, it could not. I mean, have you ever seen that movie Independence Day? At the very end of it, when all the cities of the earth are burning and in flames, that's what's going to happen. Unfortunately, when I die, I wish I could change it for everybody, but you know, it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. I don't know how on earth the earth managed to get along in the billions of years that, you know, sort of came before me.
Well,
but
it was through your oversight, probably.
Well, it could be. It could be. But God has made it quite clear to me that this is the Stephen story, starring Stephen and co-starring everybody else. So let's see how out there. I'm just kidding. Actually, Sandra Lee Cirio hit the nail on the head. She said that I would be dealing with some ego issues thanks to my Leo son. And you know, she was quite correct about that. And at 39 years old, I've attained, believe it or not, a lot more humility. I know that might be hard to believe, but nevertheless, it's true.
Well, we do. We grow all the time. I know each year I'm a different person.
Me too. And you know, I reflect on the Stephen that I used to be last year, the Stephen that I was 10 years ago, the Stephen that I was when I was 4. And I reflect that Stephen, and this pertains to the past life issue, I reflect that Stephen is just as dead as if he, you know, had actually physically died. You know, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. The Stephen that I was in 1993, he's no longer here. He's evolved. You could say, in effect, that it's a sort of an intra-life reincarnation, as it were. Now, adhering to the principle of as below, as above, so below, you know, if I can reincarnate my body, so to speak, by aging and maturing, then it makes sense that the soul does the same thing. You know, none of us were the same person that we were when we were in kindergarten. Our kindergartner selves is just as dead as if he or she had been buried in a casket. That's my stance on the matter.
And you know, just as you can recreate your entire body, your organs, I think that we're doing that spiritually. Do you believe that that's the case, Maureen?
As a matter of fact. The show that I'm going to be doing on sound healing, I talk on the show page. You were just asking, do you believe that we can start healing our organs? Is that what you just said? You're asking me that? I mean, just off of doing anything? I mean, that we can healing altogether, any healing? Our organs, our body, right?
Well, we were just talking about the fact that each year we can look back and say, you know, we've grown. We're not who we were 1 year ago.
Yeah, it's called our organs are breaking down. It's called I have heart disease now. It's called I can't have I understand. I'm being kind of silly and it's not funny what I'm talking about, but you did say something. Do you feel, you said the wording, you did say, yeah, you're right, we're not the same people we are now, but you did say something about our organs, right?
Yes, that we in effect recreate our organs. I think
we do. And you know, also our mindset, you know, I'm a perfect example. I'm a textbook case of somebody with the mind and body connection stuff. You know, that was real popular in mind body in the 80s. But I have had a lot of physical problems, whereas I had been diagnosed, I've been given medication. A lot of sensitives have stuff like that going on too. And when I was younger, I'm in my 20s, late 20s at this point, and there's severe stuff, and then bam, they're gone. So I do feel that our body and organs. And now, you know, with taking care of yourself, like at that point, I didn't really take care of myself anyway, but I had youth on my side, right? But I also feel with all this new stuff that there's doing, like I'm having someone for healing, toning, healing, and our inner, I think it's fabulous, you know. Actually, you know, I have a hard time doing that, but I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, Doug was saying in on Skype, yeah, there, like on the chat,
it's like a...
He was saying that the body does recreate itself every 7 years.
I've got to be the voice of dissension here. I actually do not believe that. I believe that obviously this every 7 years, I believe there is that biological cycle.
It's an itch. There's a 7 year itch, isn't it?
However, there's a part in our DNA called the telomere, okay? And the telomere is at the very end of the DNA. Imagine a book. And further point of fact, imagine it's a book of instructions. And let's pretend that the instructions are to build a fighter jet, okay? So, and this is the cell. This is the DNA. So the idea is that every time the cell divides, it clips off a little bit of that telomere, the end of the DNA, which is junk. And going back to our analogy of the book, it would be as if the last 50 pages of the book were blank. And let's say, so I build my fighter jet, and I rip out the last blank page of the book, and I pass it to Maureen. She builds her fighter jet, rips out the last blank page in the book, passes it to you, Steve. You build your fighter jet, et cetera, right on down the line. Now, eventually, after 50 or so transmissions in this way, you're going to be, because the rule is you have to rip out a page of the book. I mean, that's we see evidence of that every day. People age, people die. So you pass it, when the cell divides, it keeps on cleaving off that telomere until eventually you're passing around the book and you're ripping out the instructions for the jet. So now all of a sudden the jet begins to degrade. The jet, the interior is less comfortable. The air conditioning goes on the fritz. But pretty soon you're going to have severe structural damage to that jet because the instructions keep getting degraded. The wings, the fuselage are all going to start to degrade. And this is the organic basis of aging. Cancer cells have figured out how to circumvent this process, but they teach us perhaps the most important lesson of immortality, that it is indeed death. That's the irony. The paradox of immortality, that when you achieve it, instead of finding eternal life, you'll find death.
And you'll all be young at death, too, and you'll all be really good. And also, I don't know about that, Stephen, because, you know, I just think that we have a lot of stuff going on where, you know, the older generations cracks up at the younger ones, because if it wasn't for them, that we wouldn't have some of the laser, and the older generations, oh, we've got these apps, and they go, yeah, but for us, you wouldn't have the ability to have apps. It cracks up because the younger guys are coming up with these older farts, right, whatever. It's just hilarious. And the thing of it is, with what we're involved in, like my daughter's time, all that what we're doing, getting out this, a lot of other people we know, everything since I've watched, I'm a little bit older than you got, well, just a little bit, but since I've, and there's always going to be the new ager wagers that are just pretending. Oh, you know what I mean, guys. It's like, well, come on. We need those to equal out the balance. But when people take out pages, they will add to things too. So like even the most, I mean, people that you would never think would be all for it are now all for other ways of looking or perspective, or maybe not, or ripping, keeping a page and adding an extra. I'm just giving that.
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying it with the primitive life forms like worms and toads and stuff. And what they're finding is that it works by extending by putting in more blank pages. They are finding that these primitive creatures live longer. It's very interesting.
And I'm from another world. So the bottom line is, you know, the mothership dropped my butt.
Well, then you don't have anything to worry about.
So I have nothing to put in any pages, you know, the way I'm looking at it. I'm free of the pages. Set me free.
Hey, there's nobody freer than you are. You are definitely a free spirit, Mari.
Crazy free spirit.
Well, look, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this week's edition of The Psychic Viewpoint. We thank all of you for joining us this week. We would love to thank Sandra Lee Cirio for sharing her knowledge with us tonight. We would all personally love to thank her for diving into our birth charts. Also, I'd like to thank Doug C. as the executive producer for working very hard behind the scenes, cleaning up the audio, taking care of technical problems, toiling and laboring to make this experience as pleasant as it can possibly be for all of you listening at home. Thanks, Doug. Now, my show is next week, and I'm going to be taking you on the inside of a very rare and very, very interesting world. the world of the psychic detective. So don't miss it. We're going to be fighting crime and locating the lost with Gail St. John. So we're definitely going to be looking forward to that. Steve Frampton, I'd like to thank you for your guest tonight. Maureen, would love to thank you for sharing your wisdom and your love and your light with all of us tonight. And most of all, we'd love to thank the faithful listeners of the Psychic Viewpoint. Have a great week, everyone.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.